How many of you know you can still smile, though? So look at your neighbor and just smile at him big. Let him know how glad you are to see him. Even if it's your spouse and you got in a fight on the way here, smile at him big. Or maybe you're on other ends of the room, still smile across the room at him. Hey, we're so blessed in this house. I just look around the room and think of so many fantastic people around the room making everything possible throughout the week. If you want to get engaged in this thing, not only we ask you to be praying. Listen, if you're more concentrated on fear and feelings in this thing, we need to exercise our faith. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And let's just practice that. Let's walk in it. And so if you want to help, if you want to help do some extra cleaning, you want to engage in this thing in some prayer, Wednesdays we have a prayer meeting during the week. Tuesday morning we pray here right in this room during the week, and we sure could use some extra help. So we'd love to have you. You can see myself, you can see Aaron, you can see Jess, any of the staff. Amen. I'm very thankful for servants in God's house. Brad T has been helping with the ushering and just been doing a fantastic job. He's been helping for years on Sunday morning with a family and marriage class. He is a friend to me, is a friend to the house. He is a leader. He is an elder in this place. I want you to do something tonight, and you don't have to shake, but you sure can clap tonight. I want you to stand and give my brother Brad Trzyski a big hand. Come on, give him a hand.
Good evening, everybody. Woo! One more time, Pastor. Woo! Let's give it up for Jesus. Well, while we get set up, I just, everyone in this room has had an impact on my life, and everyone in this room has a part of my life and a piece of my life, and I'm standing here because of you. But I hope you don't mind. I just want to signal out one gentleman right now. Does anybody mind? Without, you know, no, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But one reason I'm here, Johnny, come stand in the center. My Uncle Johnny Colton. Let's give Johnny a hand. And I'm going to tell you why I thought about it when we were singing. It's because Johnny stayed faithful to God. His son Isaiah Colton seen that in his life. And one day, his son Isaiah came up to me and said, "Hey, Brad, would you like to come to church with me?" And it was at the right moment, at the right time. And it was precise for my life. And I stand here because of that. So let's give Jesus a hand for that. And one more thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't do this. Kelly, stand up. Let's give my wife a hand. Hold on, stay standing. First of all, if she can put up with me, she must be a saint. And she's a mother of three. She takes care of a home. She takes care of a business. She's a wife to me, and she's a faithful servant in this house. So give her a hand. Woo! So we've had an awesome lineup of speakers, and we're still on the podcast, right, Aaron? Martin? Okay. I didn't see that on there. I just wanted to double check, but you can always go back and listen to the podcast. If you weren't here for Cheryl Crossett 2 weeks ago, she's on there. That was a beautiful message. And last week, Chris Ball knocked it out of the park. It was an instrumental service that we had. And next week is going to be Phil the Spartan Gardner. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis, and we're going to be talking about the story of Joseph. So if you turn to Genesis 37, and if you want to get that ready. The title of my message is, "That's What I Envisioned." And everybody say these three words with me. Say vision, provision, precision. And I like to define these words. Vision is a mental image of what the future will or could be like. Provision, the action or providing or supplying something for use. Thank you, Sarah. Now, if you break up the two words provision, pro means before, vision means to see. So it means to see before. And precision is the quality, condition, or fact of being exact and accurate. And last Saturday, Phil and I ran a Spartan race, and it was unbelievable. It was awesome, and we planned this out like months and months ago. And I had those three words dropped in my spirit at the beginning of the year. I was studying. I hopped on the U Bible app, and I was studying, and God dropped those three words in my heart, and they were there, and they were sitting there, and I was marinating on them and just thinking about them. But I couldn't come up with a title for my message when I was asked to speak. But I kept on working on those three words that God had put in my heart. So we're on our way to the Spartan race. Now, 2 weeks ago, it was beautiful out. Last week, it was cold. And I was like, dear God, what am I doing? It's the middle of winter. I'm going to be running outside. I'm going to be getting wet. I'm going to be getting cold. And the other brilliant idea, as I signed my six-year-old daughter up for her second Spartan race in the middle of winter. What was I thinking? So we're on our way down to Cortland, and it's sunny out, but it's still a little cold. And I text Phil. I wasn't driving. I let my wife drive down so I could, you know, do some texting and stuff. And I text Phil. I said, feels a little crazy, but it will be an adventure. Crazy is thinking it's okay to watch Netflix and scroll through social media all day. Nothing wrong with those things, but not all day. Can everyone say amen? Amen. Phil texts me back. Now hear this. He had a vision. He had a perception of something 3-4 months ago. Phil texts me back and he says, not the day I envisioned when we planned this, but a day I will remember. As we go through life, we'll experience moments that we will say, that is not what I envisioned. God knew 41 years ago I would be standing here today as a husband and as a father if I made the decision to follow my vision. You see, when I was a little boy, I was dreaming and envisioning of being a husband and a father. Whether you know my story or not, when I had all these visions and I had this envision of being a father and a boy, I was terrified. And I'll tell you why I was terrified. I was terrified of the destructive behaviors of my mother. I was terrified of what was going to come next. Was it going to be rage or anger because of alcohol? Another stepfather or deadbeat dad or deadbeat boyfriend? Or was it going to be a season of love and rebuilding to watch it all be torn away by drugs and alcohol? Have you ever asked yourself, this is not what I envisioned? You see, as life continues on, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's setbacks. You might be looking even at your current circumstances and saying, this is not what I envisioned. But no matter how hard it's been, no matter how hard it's got for me, I wanted something better. That's just a little glimpse of my story. But I always wanted to be a great husband and a great father. So let us pray. Father God, your spirit's in this house. You dropped those words in my spirit. And God, I just pray right now that this message is not about me. God, this message is for somebody in this house that might be saying, this is not what I envision. And God, I just pray your Holy Spirit to lead me in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Thank you. I got some amens tonight. See, just real quick while I get a drink of water, my inside and my mind is running a Spartan race. I just want to let you guys know that. And if you know me, you know what's going on inside. I'm running right now. I'm running a Spartan race. But I'm trying to do a good job. Stay calm. Articulate. Thank you. So the vision. If you turn to Genesis 37, 5 through 7, and I'll give you a moment to get there. I'm not going to share all of Joseph's story. So when you get there, it's Genesis 37, 5 through 7. So I just want to give you a little backdrop. Joseph was a son of Jacob. He was the son, he was a family, siblings of 12, and he was the youngest. He went through so many trials and tribulations in his life. It was unreal. He was there, attempted murder. He was thrown in a pit. He was sold. He was sold again. He was lied about. He was thrown in prison. He was forgotten about. He was abandoned. He had a story. He had a big story. He had a bigger story than I do. So, but he had a vision. And let me read this. Genesis 37, 5 through 7 in the New Living Translation. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told this to his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundles stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before me. And then if we go to Genesis 37, 9, he had another dream. Soon, Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Listen. 17-year-old boy telling a bunch of his older brothers to listen. He said, listen, I had another dream. He said, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed low before me. See, Joseph was just a shepherd boy, the son of Jacob. He was the youngest of 12. He was only 17 years old, just a boy when he had these visions. After Joseph had these visions and he shared them with his family, he faced many trials and many tribulations, many struggles, setbacks, and I would imagine that when he looked at his current circumstances, he probably said, this is not what I envisioned. Let me tell you what Joseph did not envision, because we know what he did envision. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Yes, sir. He was rejected by his father, hated and jealous by his other siblings. His father questioned his motives and integrity. He was mocked because of his dream, his brother's scheme to murder him. He was sold for money. He was sold again to Potiphar. He was stripped from his high-ranking position just below the king because of lies. He was wrongly imprisoned, and he was forgotten and abandoned in prison. No matter what Joseph was facing, though, he had favor with God. The people knew it, and everyone that he engaged with seen the favor that he had with God. Joseph had favor with God. He had favor with his father. He had favor with Potiphar, the warden, and he also had favor with Pharaoh. I'm not saying go to prison, but if you were ever go to prison, it would be good to have favor with the warden. Amen? Amen. I just need another amen. Thank you, Taylor. But let me just say this. It was not because of Joseph's vision he had the favor. Hear this. It was because Joseph made a decision. His decision was to stay a godly man. No matter how hard things are got, no matter the trials, Joseph made the decision to be a man of God. When Joseph made this decision, God came through with great precision and provision to fulfill the vision. Amen? I can't say that three times, so don't ask. Now let's, God's provision with precision. I just want to show you a couple parts of Joseph's story and how God came through with provision at a precise time, with precision. God sent the Midianite traders traveling, knowing his brothers would sell Joseph to Potiphar. Turn to Genesis 37:28. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And then the traders took him to Egypt. Turn to Genesis 39, 1 through 4. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar. God knew this was going to happen. He was an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guards of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success with everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. That's favor. Let's look at the second thing that God did with precision. God had Joseph in prison for a reason. It was to be able to interpret dreams. Turn to Genesis 39, 21 through 23. Genesis 39, 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite to the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Last one under this precision of God, Genesis 40, 5 through 8. These are just little glimpses of Joseph's story. If you ever get a chance to read it on your own, it's an awesome story. So Genesis 40, 5 through 8. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearers and the baker each had a dream one night, and each dreamed its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried?" he asked. And they replied, "We both had a dream last night, but no one can tell us what it means." Interpreting dreams is God's job, or God's business. Joseph replied, "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." The next precise thing that God did in Joseph's life was God had Joseph interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And this is when the story gets really good. Turn to Genesis 41, 14 through 16. It's also up on the screen. I'm going to walk over here away from the pulpit. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this." Joseph replied, "But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease." Can everyone say amen? God made Joseph second in command and ruler over Egypt. Genesis 41, 37 through 41. Joseph's suggestions were all received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with God's Spirit?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of these dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sit on my throne will have a rank higher than yours." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land." Tell me that's favor from God. Amen. And this is where God's fulfillment comes in. The fulfillment of God's vision. And that comes in Genesis 42:6. Genesis 42:6. "Since Joseph was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was him that his brothers came." Remember the dream? Remember the dream at 17 years old? Remember the vision that Joseph had at 17 years old? His brothers, his siblings would bow before him. Here it is. "When his brothers came, when they arrived, they bowed before him with their face to the ground." The next scripture, Genesis 35, 5 through 8, the Bible says, Joseph told them, "But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last for 5 more, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he was the one who had made me advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of this entire palace, and the governor of all of Egypt." Can everyone say amen? Thank you. Nearly 23 years passed from the pit to the palace before Joseph was reunited with his brothers and his vision was fulfilled. 23 years it took from the pit to the palace until the vision was fulfilled. We are all living a Joseph life, a dream, a vision, a desire for a great life. Sometimes you can't see how to get from here to there. God knows the beginning to the end. We all face many obstacles and much resistance all the way. We've all experienced the pit, and we all are going to experience the palace. Are you in the pit or are you in the palace? It is not the vision that makes you. Let me say that again. It wasn't Joseph's vision. It's not your vision that's going to make you. It's your decision. It is how you get from here to there. How we get from here to there is trusting in our Savior, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Hear these 3 points, and I'm almost done. Go right past that one, Polly. Let me read these. God's vision is fulfilled in the decision. God's provision shows up in the decision. God's precision shows up in the decision. God showed up in Joseph's vision because he made a decision to stay godly. God's provision showed up in the decision because Joseph decided to stay godly. God's precision at the precise time in Joseph's life showed up because of a decision to stay a godly man. How do we know this? It doesn't say he stayed a godly man. We know this because of what the people said. We know this because the people said, "Look at Joseph. He has favor on his life. Look at Joseph. The Lord is with him." The people seeing God on Joseph's life. We must make the Joseph decision. The decision to stay godly. The decision to walk out our faith. the decision to make the right choice, no matter what, the decision to do what is right in the face of adversity. Joseph remained godly no matter what, even when he said to himself, "This is not what I envisioned." We must make the decision to believe in God's vision for our life so God will provide provision with great precision. Everyone say amen. Amen. I'm almost closing. Sarah, if you want to come up. I did not envision rejection. I did not envision doubt. I didn't envision fear and pain and brokenness or loss. I did not envision financial ruin. My salvation is bigger than myself. While I was having that dream and that vision as a young little boy, there was also a little girl having the same dream I was. God gave us a vision for something better. A vision is always bigger than yourself. And I'm going to close with this. Keep dreaming. Keep trusting God. Somewhere out there, someone needs you to fulfill your God-given vision. Someone out there is having a dream, and you are part of that dream. You might be someone's Joseph, someone in a famine, someone with shortage of love, someone with shortage of forgiveness, someone with shortage of strength, someone that needs friendship, someone that needs salvation. Even when you say to yourself, "This is not what I envision," keep trusting God. Amen. Keep trusting God. I'm closing, but keep trusting God. Even when it gets tough. Even when everything around you, you're saying this is not the way it was supposed to be. Even when you are in the hardest times in your life, it doesn't matter whether it's mentally, spiritually, physically, no matter what, no matter if your vision isn't coming to pass, and you're saying to yourself, "This is not what I seen. This is not what it's supposed to be." Just keep trusting God. And I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm going to come, I'll be down here to pray. You can pray wherever you're at, but I'm going to stand here and pray. And God, I just thank you for this message. God, I thank you for those three words that you dropped in my spirit months ago. And God, I thank you for giving me the diligence, giving me the persistence to keep fighting, to keep putting myself in the house of God, to keep believing and persisting like Joseph did. God, I just pray for this congregation. I just pray if they're in that season of their life where they can't see past their circumstances and they can't see their vision, God, I just pray that you get them through it. And I just pray for your vision to come to pass over everybody's life in this house. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Come on, give him a hand. Come on, give him a hand tonight. That was great, wasn't it? Listen to this. Joseph had a dream. And I bet you that God did exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ask or think or conceive. Listen to this. Genesis 41:39 said, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all of my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will you be greater. And I just, as I hear you declare God's word and share what God has spoken to your heart and to your spirit, he's spoken to each one of us tonight to stay to it. Because God, his plan is to do far more. If he did just what we wanted him to do, it'd be so much less than what he has planned to do. And for each one of you in this house, if you just receive that he's going to do exceedingly and abundantly, you just receive that. Just lift your hand to heaven right now. Father, we declare that we trust your word, that we trust your heart, Father, that it's to do good and to bless us, and to that we'd be in health even as our souls prosper, that we'd prosper. So we declare that even in this season of unsteadiness and fear and things, the boat is rocking. Father, we set our sights on your will and on your plan and on your destiny for this house and for your people. And Father, we even pray for your people all over this country and Father, around the world, that Father, you said that you'd work all things for the good of them that love you and them that are called according to your purpose. And Father, we don't run to the side. We don't run and hide, but Father, we declare your word. Father, we stand in faith and we declare your word in this house and in this season. Father, we rebuke every spirit of fear. We rebuke sickness, Father, in Jesus' name. We stand on your word and we say by your stripes that we are healed. And Father, we just stand in agreement that we will make the decision and that we will believe you for the provision in this place and in this season. And all of your people said, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord one more hand tonight. Man, it was so, so great to see you tonight. Those watching on Facebook, it was so great to have you with us tonight. We're believing for great things in this season, not only in this place, but in your life. We love you. We can't wait to see you Sunday. God bless you.